In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "Henceforth, you will be catching people. You will be catching people." Jesus had been using Simon Peter's boat as a pulpit whilst he spoke to the people on the beach who'd come to hear him. Such was the crowd, he was in danger of being pushed into the lake. And as we heard, when he'd finished, he tells Peter to put out and catch for a catch. And you can imagine Peter explaining to him that you only fished at night and they'd been out and hadn't caught anything. But to please him, they put out again. You can imagine Peter rolling his eyes at Andrew, these know-it-all landlubbers. But infuriatingly, Jesus was right, and they landed an enormous catch. Peter's eyes were opened, and he saw who Jesus was. Perhaps he'd been in that synagogue a couple of weeks previously, as we heard in our gospel about Jesus fulfilling the scripture. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. No wonder he fell to his knees. "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." But Jesus had plans for him, and so began his life as a disciple, catching people. Over these past weeks, our readings have been focused on the Epiphany, the showing forth of Jesus, revealing who he is. Now his ministry begins in earnest, and he calls round him a band of disciples. These he'll teach, and they in their turn will spread his message, his good news. Perhaps the first thing to notice is that Jesus calls people who are busy getting on with their lives. Peter and his friends were cleaning their nets when Jesus came down to the lakeside. They may well have only been listening with half an ear to what he was saying. Yet he saw in them the qualities he could use in his service, the perseverance and tenacity which was needed if you were a fisherman. As some of you may know, the Sea of Galilee is a very beautiful, set amid the Judean hills, but it's also subject to very sudden and violent squalls, as we read occasionally in the Gospels. So to make a living from it required skill, required toughness. And another thing to note is Jesus' inherent authority. These seasoned fishermen took the boat out at his command and then gave up everything to follow him. The congregation at Nazareth, where he'd preached that gospel, didn't throw him over the cliff. Something in his demeanor held them back. The stewards at the wedding feast happily filled 6 large water jars at his command. These were all epiphanies. There was something about our Lord which brooked a response. And we're told that the crowds recognized this. They commented that he preached with authority, not as the scribes and Pharisees. A centurion, an outsider, a Roman citizen recognized it when he came requesting healing for his servant. Jesus was going to come to him, but he said he wasn't worthy and answered him, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard him, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And much later on, there's no doubt that at his trial, Pilate was more than intimidated by Jesus' presence. And his choice of disciple was, to say the least, unusual. A rabbi would usually gather a band of earnest young scholars, well acquainted with the scriptures, intellectually inclined. Jesus called people on the very edge of society, seemingly total unskilled in the finer points of rhetoric or religious debate, better acquainted perhaps with the local taverns than with the synagogue. Almost, as the Pharisees were often sneeringly pointed out, little more than local riffraff. But once again, Jesus' choices were proved to be right. So how do we see our call? How do we see our discipleship? Do you feel called? Presumably, because you're here. Because being a Christian in itself, as it was for Peter and the 12, is both a call and a commission. If we're following Jesus, we should be catching people for him. And before you slide down in your pew and protest that this isn't you at all, remember that was Peter's first reaction. Depart from me, Lord. As indeed it's been the reaction of many called to God's service. Moses protested that he couldn't lead the people from slavery in Egypt because he wasn't eloquent enough. Jeremiah protested he was only a youth. When God calls, he sees the potential, what we can become if we're prepared to follow, to put our faith, our trust in him. We know Peter had a lot to learn, and he often learned the hard way. Jesus even once referred to him as Satan when he'd spoken before he put his brain into gear. And remember, he actually denied three times that he knew our Lord. The man whom Jesus had called the rock on which he was going to build his church. But Jesus never lost faith in him. And in a similar incident in today's gospel, again on the shore of the lakeside, Jesus received Peter's affirmation of love and faith and gave him his commission again, feed my sheep, tend my flock. So remember, Jesus believes in you, whatever your own doubts and misgivings, whatever you feel about your capabilities. So how might we respond? What can we do? If the church is to function efficiently, all its various parts have to work together. And if it does, we shall be a better place to capture those that we need to become a part of the kingdom. We shall be the sort of people other people will be attracted to. Why is it we're here? What is it we receive? What is it we have to share? One of the ancient symbols of the church was an ark floating on the sea of the world. And it's perhaps quite an apt symbol today. We're a small vessel on a vast sea of indifference and apathy and even hostility. We as the crew need to be letting our nets down, but we can only do so if we're doing it together, as those disciples did. So when we come to the quieter moments of the service, think about Peter, his call, his response to Jesus, and ask what you might do to further his work. And remember that we're given strength through Christ's own Spirit. He believes in the abilities we have. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here at all. Our Old Testament reading today is Isaiah's vision in the temple, when he sees the glory of God surrounded by the seraphim. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And his reaction was not unlike Peter's. "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." But one of the seraphim cleanses his lips, and Isaiah hears the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." If we make that response to God, he will use us as he did Isaiah, as he did Peter, and as he has many through the centuries. One of our more contemporary hymns sums all this up quite well. "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me? Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Then I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me." Amen.